Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition as we continue to chronicle the battle between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. On this week's program, I want to move past all of the domestic conflicts, the culture war, and address China and foreign policy. We have all these problems with race riots, with the Wuhan flu, with the presidential election, with deficit spending, with LGBTQ. But don't be surprised if on the heels of all this comes war. War with China. We're already in a cold war with China. Don't be surprised if things start to heat up. Don't be surprised if we pick up the morning paper and we read that China has invaded Taiwan. Then what? Financial sanctions on China, embargoes. Most American companies do their manufacturing in China. So expect more financial meltdown, inflation. Now, as the prophet Amos famously said, I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, so I'm not predicting that China is going to invade Taiwan tomorrow, but they will someday soon. I just want to get ahead of the story. Rather than always following the headlines, we ought to discern what's coming down the pike. So to set the stage, here are just a few stories in this regard. Our Christian Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, warns Americans what China is doing to the world. We can never go back to the past. Quote, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo called on leaders around the world on Thursday to unite against the Chinese Communist Party, warning that if the free world doesn't change, that Communist China will surely change us. Now, my goal today is to put it all together for the American people and detail what the China threat means for our economy, for our liberty, and indeed for the future of free democracies around the world. We must admit a hard truth that should guide us in the years and decades to come. That if we want to have a free 21st century, and not the Chinese century of which Xi Jinping dreams, the old paradigm of blind engagement with China simply won't get it done. We must not continue it, and we must not return to it. As President Trump has made very clear, we need a strategy that protects the American economy and indeed our way of life. The free world must triumph over this new tyranny. And under the Trump administration, there has been a dramatic change in U.S. foreign policy, going from being pro-China to now realizing that the Chinese communists want to undermine and conquer the West. And by the way, the left in America, with their love for communism, hates the Trump administration for their anti-Chi-Com policy. And I would vote for Trump just on this issue alone. Another article. Communist China is preparing its military to overtake Taiwan, top Taiwanese officials warn. Quote, Taiwanese Foreign Minister Joseph Wu warned on Wednesday that Communist China was readying its military to overtake Taiwan, which is located approximately 100 miles to the east of China's shores. Looking on the long-term trend, China appears to be gradually stepping up its military preparedness, especially in air or on the waters near Taiwan. Wu told reporters, according to Reuters, what China is doing now is continuing to ramp up preparedness to solve the Taiwan issue. The threat is on the rise. Wu said that Chinese military aircraft invaded Taiwan's airspace almost every day last month and were much more frequent than what Taiwan had initially told the media, and that China also simulated several military attacks on Taiwan. The warning from Taiwan also comes as the Chinese Communist Party passed new draconian national security laws for Hong Kong that criminalizes four categories of crimes, including secession, subversion, terrorism, and collusion with foreign or external forces to endanger Chinese national security. The new law contains a section that bans every person on earth from advocating for Hong Kong's democracy. So we see two things to be aware of regarding China: aggressive preparations to invade Taiwan and the taking over of Hong Kong. A third, which we'll get to later, there's been a renewed crackdown on churches in China. Now, regarding Taiwan, Taiwan has about 23 million people. It's about twice the size of New Jersey, about one-third the size of Pennsylvania. When Mao and the communists took over mainland China, many Chinese fled to Taiwan and started a democracy there. Since that time, China has claimed that Taiwan and her people belong to China. This is communistic imperialism. Now, Hong Kong is also an island territory off the shore of China. It's about one-tenth the size of Taiwan. The British colonized Hong Kong in 1898 with a 99-year lease. In 1997, with the lease ending, Hong Kong was transferred to the Chinese government as an independent administrative zone. But in this last year, China has passed new laws to fully remove democracy from Hong Kong. This is called the Beijing Plan. It went into effect on June 30th. All types of dissent against the government are outlawed. Dissenters in Hong Kong can now be prosecuted on the mainland. In a World Magazine article, Hong Kong residents began deleting their Twitter accounts and scrubbing their social media. Pro-democracy groups disbanded. Libraries removed pro-democracy books. Many activists fled overseas. And as an aside here, note that many of these new restrictions were implemented under the guise of the coronavirus issue, which again shows us that persecution always comes with a deceptive rationale or lie. The ungodly never let a good crisis go to waste. So did you hear about all this in the news? Not likely, because our media is fixated upon presidential elections, the coronavirus, the riots, and the leftist media is not about to criticize China. I could dedicate an entire program to all the quotes from leftist American leaders who are saying that China's governance needs to be a model for America. That like China, we need to put limits on free speech. That the American government needs to control industry and business like China. Like China, we need more spy drones and cameras. We need a social media scoring system. The communist mindset in the West is identical to the communist mindset in the East. Here's another story from PJ Media by Brian Preston. Why is China acting against India, Hong Kong, the South China Sea, and Taiwan all at once? Quote, when I started to write this piece, China had just moved troops into the disputed border with India on its Western Front. So this piece was mainly about that. But events kept moving fast in Hong Kong, Beijing, and then Taiwan. China is now making serious threats on both of its eastern and western flanks. What's remarkable about China's move is that it is acting simultaneously on multiple fronts, even as its economy has been weakened by the coronavirus outbreak. China's economy contracted for the first quarter in 2020, for the first time in nearly a decade, and it is no longer issuing an economic forecast for 2020. But while China's economy supposedly suffers, it's engaging aggressively in the South China Sea, notably by constructing islands and fortifying them. It's clamping down fast and hard on Hong Kong, threatening to end the one country, two system that was set up in 1997. While it has one eye on free and democratic Taiwan to the east, China is moving troops into disputed territories on its western front with India via Tibet. Is China setting itself up for a major conflict on both of its fronts? Is it assuming that no one will dare stand against it? So what explanation does this author give for China's new aggression? Quote, China masks its territorial ambitions in history, but it's really focused on establishing prestige, consolidating resources and defensible borders while crowding out rivals. Hence the move against Hong Kong in the South China Sea, which is really about controlling trade and strategic routes, against Taiwan, prestige, trade, and military value, and on the Tibetan border, minerals, and to push out India. It's all a matter of prestige and the pursuit of national interests and power politics. So in short, what this author is basically saying is that China has been empowered. It now has the goal of world dominance. It wants to take the place of America and become the world's leading superpower. China sees on the news what's happening in America, deficit spending, coming bankruptcy, riots in the streets, petty fighting between two political parties so that there's gridlock, moral breakdown. America is showing all the signs that caused the fall of Rome. And China, when all is said and done, wants to end up on top in its economic One Belt, One Road initiative. China wants the yuan to replace the dollar as the world currency. When the current leader of China came to power, Xi Jinping, he announced his vision. Quote, here's an article from National Review. Xi Jinping said, China has a pathway to rejuvenation. After years of national humiliation at the hands of the West and Japan, China, in this new era, will march to center stage. The Chinese Communist Party will lead the country back to a 21st century version of the Middle Kingdom centrality, the geopolitical order that the regime regards as the natural way the world is to be structured. Xi Jinping has announced that he would reshape international institutions to align with the Communist Chinese Party agenda, promote socialist culture abroad, export to other dictators high-tech authoritarian control capabilities, and an economic model dominated by the state. Replace alliances, i.e. the U.S. international system, with a network of strategic partnerships with China at the center. The main motivation behind the One Belt, One Road initiative, Beijing's scheme for a new Sino-centric Eurasia political economic order, and build a military that would outpace the U.S. armed forces and achieve technological dominance. So the explanation for China's motive is quite simple. The sinful competitive nature of unregenerate men. The desire for power control beyond the boundaries that God has set up. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. And if other nations are smart, they should work to keep the balance of power in the world. China's goal is the same as the Tower of Babel and every world empire, that nothing they purpose to do will be impossible for them. Genesis 11:6. And that power always results in evil. That's why God divided up the nations, and that's why we should work to keep it that way. Hence, the Christian belief in nationalism, as opposed to the left's naive support for globalism. Now, does this mean that China will soon invade the West? Well, given China's cultural isolation and its own internal problems, I don't think militarily anytime soon. But don't be surprised if China invades Taiwan. The West is going to complain, but China knows there's not a whole lot the West can do about it. Nobody wants World War III. Can you imagine China and America going to war over Taiwan? Not very likely. Quote, in the words of an activist in Hong Kong, Jennifer Chan, Beijing has taken a crazy gamble to turn Hong Kong into a mainland city in hopes that the rest of the world does nothing. Well, that gamble may soon include Taiwan. China hopes that the rest of the world does nothing. Right now, the only thing keeping China from invading Taiwan is that they have 1.4 billion people to employ and feed. And they need the money they receive from exports to the West. But now with China getting a black eye from the Wuhan flu, with Trump's new tariffs on Chinese products, China might go for it anyway. Make the gamble that any short-term losses will be worth it and can eventually be made up for. Now, as far as China invading the West, India, Europe, Japan, America, China is very pragmatic. It realizes that World War III would be a loss for China. China would much rather bide its time and achieve dominance through economics, through predatory business practices, by stealing technology, by using money to buy the West, or by working their people as slaves until they can undermine Western businesses, which is a whole other story. What we think is free trade is America using slave labor in communist China to get cheap products. We'd never get away with that in America, using slave labor for cheap products, but we do it overseas. You know, the same thing that happened to the southern states in America in the 19th century because of slavery is happening here in America. A whole generation of young Americans have lost the Christian work ethic and the drive to produce because we have so much being made for us by slave labor. Anyway, don't expect China to invade the West anytime soon. The Cold War between China and America will continue for some time, and China will continue to grow stronger and stronger. But all this is setting up a geopolitical situation where China will eventually use its military against the West. Now, actually, from a prophetic point of view, for China to be punished for its evil like all the rest of the world. We read in Revelation chapter 16, verse 12, that the kings of the East will come to the battle of Armageddon. We see in that prophecy that someday China will actually invade the West. Also, Revelation chapter 9, verse 12, the apostle John sees an army of 200 million. And that text associates that army with the kings of the East coming across the Euphrates. And with China's population being 1.4 billion, and with some alliances with other nations in the East, an army of 200 million men could be put together quite easily. This is not something that's going to take 100 years to happen. This could happen tomorrow. And China, with an overpopulation problem, has an overabundance of manpower. And they will be more than willing to use that in their military strategy to overcome the enemy by sheer numbers. Well, here's my take on those prophecies in the book of the Revelation. You know, like the old saying goes, you know, my advice and a nickel might buy you a cup of coffee. But I've always thought that when World War III breaks out, whether at the beginning of the tribulation or the middle of the tribulation, the end of the tribulation, China does not want to be left out. Because China saw what happened to the United States after World War II. As victors, the United States took the world dominance for the next century. And China doesn't want to miss that opportunity. It wants to come out as a victor when all of the dust settles. But with that mindset, politically, China will be walking into its own destruction. God is bringing all nations to the Valley of Jehoshaphat to enter into judgment with them there. That's Joel chapter 3. And also Joel chapter 3, verse 14. Multitudes, multitudes in the Valley of Decision, for the day of the Lord is near. In the Valley of Decision, China, like the West, has a huge price to pay for the shedding of innocent blood. So those are my hunches in regard to China and prophecy. But there's some other biblical lessons that need to be shared concerning China and its rise in the world. Note the curse that comes upon nations that abandon God, such as America. Deuteronomy 28:43. The foreigner who is among you shall rise above you higher and higher, but you will go down lower and lower. He shall lend to you, but you will not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you will be the tail. And Deuteronomy 28:47, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and a glad heart for the abundance of things, therefore you shall serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you. The Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the ends of the earth, as the eagle swoops down, a nation whose language you shall not understand. And in 1 Kings chapter 11, when Solomon departed from the Lord raised up adversaries against Israel. And rather than Israel solving the problem by turning back to the Lord, Israel tried to solve it by politics, by political alliances, by foreign policy, and that resulted in greater suffering for Israel. That's Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 18. Where Jeremiah says to his people, what are you doing on the road to Egypt for political help? Or Isaiah chapter 19, verse 11, The princes of Zoan are mere fools. The advisors of Pharaoh's wisest advisors have become stupid. Or Isaiah 57:10. You have sent your envoys a great distance. You are tired out by the length of your road. The rise of China and the decline of America is ultimately due to ungodliness here in America. You know, we talk about China being this secular atheistic country, but the Bible is banned from public schools here in America. And America has adopted the same secular government model as China and the old Soviet Union. And like Israel, we have turned to foreign policy to save us from our adversaries. Our politicians in the 1970s opened up China to the West, hoping that it would change China. China would become more like the West, but what has really happened instead is the West has become more like China, because we have followed the same godless model for government and for society. And we accepted trade with China because we no longer thought religious freedom and human rights were such a big deal. The recent history between American China is surprisingly similar to the story of Israel and her enemies. History repeats itself. The Bible gives us timeless lessons of national apostasy. In the 7th century BC, the main concern for Israel was the Empire of Assyria. The Assyrian Empire actually destroyed northern Israel. So King Hezekiah and subsequent kings of Israel had the bright idea of supporting the nation of Babylon to be a hedge against the Empire of Assyria. Well, in the 1970s, America was in the midst of a Cold War with Russia, and the mindset of American political advisors at that time was to make an alliance with China as a hedge against the Soviet Union. There are a number of articles that point this out. Quote from one article, it was not by accident or happenstance that China became a major player in the world economy, and more broadly, in the liberal international order that the United States was instrumental in fashioning. That outcome, rather, is largely a result of concerted American policy. For four decades, the United States has pursued a deliberate and explicit strategy, reaffirmed by innumerable public and private decisions under both Democratic and Republican administrations and Congress, to engage China and enmesh that enormous country in globalization, the free world's great web of commerce, communications, travel, education, research, and culture. For many long years, this strategy, though not without critics, was widely regarded as a triumph of American statesmanship. For a generation and more, the policy of engaging China paid handsome and obvious dividends, drawing the People's Republic of China into the world economy and the post-war multilateral project for transnational governance has been the centerpiece of America's China policy ever since Washington and Beijing normalized diplomatic relations back in 1979. The United States' modern China policy began with Nixon's famous Cold War overture to Beijing, setting China as a geopolitical counterweight against Moscow, served our national purposes well enough. In this calculus, America would not only be safer by bringing China into our fold, we would be richer and therefore more powerful as well. Such thinking still informs our China policy. Now, from a biblical Christian perspective, the core error of our foreign policy intelligentsia was that we could change China ideologically with economic pressure and wealth. And that assumption came out of a liberal, godless view of man and sin. This view that is taught in our liberal Ivy League institutions, which trains all of our future leaders. The error is that there's no such thing as moral sin. All actions are just responses to the environment. Therefore, if you change the environment, you change people's behavior. Therefore, if you want to change people for good, change their economic situation. Liberal American politicians thought that by economics, the Chinese Communist Party would give up its claim to totalitarian power. But no, it didn't happen. Instead, we made our enemies rich. What Nixon and Carter should have done was to tell China back in 1979, if you allow religious freedom And if you let in American missionaries, we will trade with you. But our American politicians were pagans. They sold a store. And they didn't understand that the difference between the American system and the Chinese system was God versus no God. And China would never be like the West with human rights without China first turning to God. And in 1979, to satisfy China's demands before it would engage in trade with the United States, President Carter broke diplomatic relations with Taiwan and dissolved our mutual defense treaty with Taiwan. I remember that back in 1979. I was 19 years old, a freshman in college, and this was one of my first political action endeavors. The Carter administration broke off relations with our friends, the Taiwanese, and made friendships with the Chi-Coms, and I was livid. And this was before the internet, so I wrote letters to all my friends and to congressmen about the issue. Nobody listened to me. I did what I was supposed to do. So welcome to the world of political involvement. Here's a 1999 article when President Carter visited Taiwan and then tried to justify his decision of stabbing Taiwan in the back 20 years earlier. Quote, the former U.S. president, Mr. Jimmy Carter, who made the shocking decision 20 years ago to transfer U.S. diplomatic relations from Taiwan to communist China, got a predictably rough ride when he made his first visit to Taiwan this week. Mr. Carter, 75, made matters worse for himself by claiming that he did it for the good of the democracy of Taiwan. This antagonized Taiwan's foreign minister, Mr. Jason Hu, who yesterday scornfully dismissed Mr. Carter's comments as logical fallacies. Mr. Carter had revealed that transferring U.S. recognition to Beijing was the biggest decision of his life and claimed that it was key to Asia's security, unquote. But someone might ask, well, wasn't Jimmy Carter a Christian? Didn't he teach Sunday school in a Southern Baptist church? Well, Jimmy Carter is only a religious man. He doesn't have anything more than a superficial knowledge of the Word of God. He's pro-abortion. What more do we need to know? And his foreign policy reflected human wisdom, not what the scripture taught. He didn't know the Word of God. Now, back at this time in 1979, the leader of China, Deng Xiaoping, went on a tour of Western nations to see the factories and the technology of the West. And all of the Western leaders fawned over him and showed him everything. And when he returned to China, he reversed the whole Chinese system of economic isolation. The new policy was to win by getting Western businesses into China to train the Chinese workers and use the West to dominate. And in 30 years, China went from having a gross domestic product that was less than that of Mexico to being the second most wealthiest nation in the world. And this was all too similar to what Hezekiah did. 2 Kings chapter 20, the king of Babylon sent letters and presents to Hezekiah. Hezekiah listened to them and he showed them all of his treasure house, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious oils and the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasuries. There was nothing in his house nor in all of his dominion that Hezekiah did not show them. Hezekiah wanted to impress Babylon so he could make an alliance with Babylon against the Assyrian Empire. Then Isaiah the prophet came to Hezekiah and said to Hezekiah, what did these men say and from where have they come? And Hezekiah said, they have come from a foreign country, from Babylon. Isaiah said, what have they seen in your house? So Hezekiah answered, they have seen all that is in my house and there is nothing among my treasuries that I have not shown them. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, days are coming when all that is in your house and all that your fathers have laid up in store this day will be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. Now we read that text and think this was simply Hezekiah being punished for his pride. Well, pride was involved, but also a whole lot more. It was a failure to separate from ungodly nations. It was a failure to look to the Lord for deliverance. And it was putting international prestige and foreign policy manipulation above righteousness. Again, Hezekiah was trying to develop an alliance with Babylon as a hedge against Assyria, just like America thought that exporting our industry to China was the answer to economic prosperity and peace in the world. Americans should have just stayed with the tried and true Christian policy of not helping ungodly atheistic states. Well, then, later in Israel's history, King Josiah, the most righteous king in Israel's history, according to 2 Kings, he also fell into the same deception and sin. Egypt came up with troops to help Assyria fight Babylon. But Israel didn't want Egypt to help her old enemy Assyria. Israel wanted Babylon to win. So Josiah went out to battle to stop Egypt. And the Pharaoh of Egypt said to Josiah, 2 Chronicles 35:21. But Necho sent messengers to him saying, "What have we to do with each other, O king of Judah? I am not coming against you today, but against the house with which I'm at war. And God has ordered me to hurry. Stop for your own sake from interfering with God who is with me, so that he will not destroy you." But Josiah didn't discern the will of God. He went out to stop Egypt, and King Josiah died in battle. Babylon won and eventually conquered Israel. To the surprise of Israel, Babylon had the same imperialistic aspirations as Assyria. And Chinese communist totalitarians have the same aspirations as the old Soviet Union. Are American foreign policy experts, congressmen, presidents, were all blinded by their godless worldview? I can't help but think if our leaders had just known the Bible, if they had just had enough desire for God to have been students of the Word, they would not have made this fatal foreign policy decision. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 19, "Your own wickedness will correct you, and your apostasies will reprove you. Know therefore and see it is evil and bitter for you to forsake the Lord your God." To trust in yourself, to do your own thing and ignore the word of Scripture. You and I will make all sorts of mistakes in life if we don't follow, if we don't know the word of God. So that's the political story behind China's rise to power and its eventual war against the West. But let's move on to some positive notes here. While we're seeing all this happen on a political, economic level, nation rising against nations, let's remember that God is working all of this out to build his church. That's the important story here. While the ungodly nations are self-destructing, God is building his church. And through all this, God is saving a people from among the people of Asia, just like he's saving a people from among the Anglo-Europeans, from the Africans, from the Indians, from the Spanish. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. Jesus Christ has purchased for God men from every tribe and tongue and people and nations. And yes, God is even using the persecution against Christians to build his church. In a National Review article entitled "The Attempted Shutdown of China's Christians," quote, "Christians have long been persecuted and restricted, but the current comprehensive plan is to meld churches with the Chinese Communist Party under the penalty of eradication." In a speech at the Chinese Communist Party National Congress in 2017, Xi Jinping declared a new era of socialism with Chinese characteristics. In 2018, new regulations enforced this vision on religious groups. The Communist Party wants churches to sing hymns to the Communist Party, like My Motherland and I. Crosses are being taken down off of churches. Churches are prohibited from allowing minors to attend. Religious materials cannot be distributed without a state-approved serial number. In Catholic churches, pictures of the Virgin Mary are being replaced with pictures of the president. Pastors and priests are being forced to base their sermons on Xi Jinping's sayings. And the Chinese Communist Party is making a new translation of the Bible. And the one teaching that the Communist Party wants removed is prophecy. Why? Well, because it contradicts the communist state vision of a utopian future under man's rule. The Chinese Party gets it. They know exactly what the Bible teaches, such as in the prophecy of Daniel 2:44, that Christ's kingdom will crush and put an end to all of these kingdoms. And the Chinese Party can't stand that. But what do all these restrictions do for the church? How is this positive? Well, it purges the church of false brethren and hypocrites. The church is more pure. It becomes quality over quantity. And the very doctrines and the practices that believers take for granted now become precious. Believers begin to see the real battle between Christ and this world. And believers are not lulled into spiritual complacency. When the state persecutes the church, the state awakens the church. And third, in China, churches have had to keep small. In some provinces, if the church attendance is under 200, you can go under the radar. And this has caused the church in China to avoid the mega church model, but instead focusing on training more pastors, more men to shepherd the flock. So in the good providence of God, God has allowed civil government to persecute the church for most of church history. The unsaved unwittingly do exactly what's necessary to make for strong Christians, to test their faith. Because of the weakness of our flesh, often the only way we grow and the only way we appreciate truth is by opposition. You know, though we enjoy our freedoms in America and we ought to defend our religious freedoms in America, look at what it's done to the church. Often it makes for soft Christians and allows for many wolves to enter into the church. Psalm 76:10. For the wrath of man shall praise you. With a remnant of wrath, you will gird yourself. This is that age-old mystery where God turns evil into good. Even though we're to speak against evil and try to overturn it. And this is probably the main lesson we should learn from all of these errors in American foreign policy. What we should learn from the rise of this atheistic, communist Chinese state. That God is using this to build his church. So let's not get all worried about the politics of the whole thing. So that we forget that God is working all of this out, even the machinations of the wicked, to save, to test, and to refine his people. And the reason we look into all of these current events, the reason we're talking about China, is to glorify God for the way he uses these things to get the gospel to those who are to be saved. Well, thank you for taking the time to make this channel part of your discipleship in the Word. Tell a friend, like, subscribe, leave a comment below. Next week, I think the program is going to be a back-to-school program. You know, the education system in America is unraveling. Until then, keep the faith and may Jesus Christ reign.